Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, book lovers. My name is Em, and I want to talk about books. And cats. Welcome back, book lovers. This is the second episode recorded in the new Frap Media studio. It is, however, the first one that you're hearing. And I'm still processing that this is real. We've been talking kind of off and on about having a studio space for a while, but then it just seemed to happen very suddenly, very unexpectedly. Everything just kind of fell into place. And oh, I love it when that happens. It's just incredible. Now, this week in general, not so incredible. Not for reading. It's just been, I don't know. Have you ever had a week where just no books are really appealing to you? Or at least not the books that you're choosing? Just me? So this week I spent a lot of time setting up the studio and working on some other projects that I needed to finish up. And honestly, this time of year is pretty tough for me in general. And then I unexpectedly had to go in for a very, very minor surgery. But I found out the day before that I had to go in, and yeah, the healthcare system is wild. Anyway, I was just having a rough week, and no book was working for me. Everything that I chose was just like setting me off. I tried an audiobook, but there was too much like negative mother-daughter stuff in it. And so then I tried an ebook, but that was all about like a woman's severe eating issues. And then I tried another audiobook, which was supposed to be about a serial killer, but it ended up involving like way too much about like a superior sister who gets everything she wants while the other sister like kind of has to take care of her and take all the blame and you know, protect her at all costs and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was just all too much. I didn't want anything like that was going to do anything to me emotionally, basically. And I kept choosing the wrong books. I did end up finding a book, but this is still going to be kind of a light episode this week. But I will make it up to you next week because on top of moving into the studio and everything, I have also been preparing for a special episode, which is coming next week. It's another interview episode, which are my favorites. I love talking to people about books and honestly anything, life in general. I just love hearing people's stories. I just got to interview poet and podcaster Aaron Kulf, who I talked about earlier on episode 3 of this season. The episode is called Myth Monsters and Dating Dramas because she has the Myth Monster podcast, which I highly recommend. It is fantastic. And I'm super excited for that episode. It's going to be really great. We had a very interesting chat. It was a good one. But also, that being said, please stick around for this episode. I've got a new chapter of my weekly writing project, and like I said, I did finally settle on a book, which when you hear which one it is, you're going to think it's an absolute ridiculous choice, but I was just less like, it was still very emotional, but it was less of like a personal emotional feeling. I don't know how to explain it. But it was nonfiction, but read like a story, absolutely excellent. And it took up most of a 3-hour drive that I did the other day. I went to a bar an hour and a half away from my house to pick up a GoPro because my husband's band had played there and he accidentally left it. And then when I got there, the woman at the bar couldn't find it. And so I went home empty-handed. And later we figured out kind of through text that she had heard me say dobro, which I didn't even know was a thing, but apparently it's a steel guitar. So she was looking for a steel guitar while I was standing there in the bar thinking that she was looking for a GoPro. It was a comedy of errors. That's what I call my life because it is. Things like this tend to happen to me. And I just think that honestly, when things get that ridiculous, it's better to just laugh. To take a quote off of an Indigo Girls album, you have to laugh at yourself because you'd cry your eyes out if you didn't. And I think that's definitely true. I do less of the crying now, which is good. Yay, healing. But I do think it's better to just find humor in these things. Life is way too short to be angry. or to hold on to anything negative. What's the point? And honestly, nothing compares to the women that are in this book I'm listening to right now. It is called The Radium Girls by Kate Moore, and it's about girls and young women who were working during World War I, painting clock faces and like dials and stuff in a glowing paint so that they would glow in the dark. And this paint just happened to be made with the new miracle element that they had just discovered, radium. And I think we all know that that is no good. When I told my husband that this was the book that I had finally settled on, he said, "Oh, what an uplifting choice." And he's not wrong, but I think that this one just worked for me because it kind of puts my own BS into perspective. Like, none of my stuff matters in the grand scheme of things because I am healthy, I am happy, my family's healthy and happy. What more do you really need, you know? My jaw's not falling off. That's nice. sorry if that's too graphic, but this book is intense. It made me so angry because these women were just lied to over and over and over. And in the beginning, like, that job was, it was glamorous. Like, they made it seem like the most glamorous job, and like you glowed when you left, and like nobody thought that that was a problem. I guess why would they, but still. Then the owners of the companies like skewed the tests so that it just like it benefited the corporations. They started lying, and like the fate of these poor girls was just beyond hellish. It is the worst thing imaginable. Like, and they go into really great detail. And it is extremely upsetting to listen to what happened to these vibrant young women who they should have been in the prime of their lives, you know, and instead they have this horrific mystery illness that no one can pinpoint, you know. I love the way that the story is told because they really bring the women to life. They create them as full characters and you feel for them. You really kind of have like an emotional bond with them. So then when things start to go bad, like, you feel terrible. I mean, I think you would either way, but it just makes it that much worse. I haven't quite finished this one. It's over 15 hours long, which no matter how fascinating that is, it does take a while. And I got a late start, you know? But I'm definitely going to recommend this one anyway. I've only got a couple hours left, and they're finally starting to, like, you know, admit that radium is bad for you. Oh my goodness. It's such a frustrating book. It's frustrating and it's terrible, but it's a really good read. I don't know if that sells it for you or turns you away, but it's fascinating and horrific. So, yeah, I definitely recommend The Radium Girls by Kate Moore. Very interesting and just so upsetting. Oh, boy. The thing that was awesome, too, about this book is that if you're an Audible member, this is included with your subscription. I don't always explore the full benefits of things, and I have never looked into Audible's, like, you know, the books that are free and don't cost your credits or whatever. I found a couple here and there that just kind of popped up. They were recommended, and I was like, ooh, that looks good. But I never, like, went in and looked, and there are a ton. I think I put 5 or 6 on my library when I was looking through, and I only looked through, I think, like, 2 sections, like, 2 genres. And The Radium Girls was in there. So if you have Audible, you can get The Radium Girls right now. And you can be sad and horrified and intrigued. It's really good. And there's a bunch of good books there. Like I said, I really need to explore the functions of things that I'm signed up for. Because I've had Audible for a long time. Anyway, it is time for a quick break. And then I've got a song for you and also a new chapter of my weekly writing project. Be right back. Hey, book lovers, welcome back. So I said I had a song. I am not singing for you, but I recently got a message after I posted the episode where I talked about Ender's Game and the movie of Ender's Game. I got a message from a band called The Renunciate. And they said they had recently released a song that was about Ender's Game. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. I will check that out. It's sung from Ender's point of view. And it's pretty catchy. I really love the idea of writing songs about books and kind of about the plot of books. And there was another one that they had that was originally from another book in the Enders series. But they'd changed it because it, you know, lines up with some of our own issues like COVID, climate change, all that fun stuff. The music is pretty upbeat considering the somewhat, you know, dreary topics. I'm going to put a link to the song Battle Graduate, which is the one about Ender's Game, in the description. And I would say definitely check them out. The Renunciate. So now it's time for the quote of the week. And around here, it is just beginning to feel like spring. Finally. I love winter, but that kind of like in between, like March is gross. Like that in between winter and spring. I don't like that. We're finally through most of that, I think. It's been warm for a couple of days, and I don't know, this quote just seemed very appropriate today. It's from Pablo Neruda. You can cut all the flowers, but you cannot keep spring from coming. And I just love that. And it made another quote pop into my head, Hope Springs Eternal. And I have never known who said that or what that was from. So I looked it up, and it is from a poem by Alexander Pope called An Essay on Man. In case you were wondering. So there's a couple of good quotes for you all. Spring always makes me feel hopeful. The studio came with a couple of pictures and a few other things that were left over from previous people. And one of the things that I kept was a picture that's in my office of a cactus. And it says, believe in possibilities. And while this does make me feel like a cringy white woman in some ways, I also enjoy the idea of possibilities. And I am kind of a cringy white woman, as much as I would like to fight that. I like quotes and words, so why not have them on the wall? I've been doing that way longer than most of the cringy white women. Anyway, that was a weird tangent to go off on. I've been watching a lot of drag queen content, and they tend to read the ladies that have, like, words hanging up on their walls, like, live, laugh, love, and all that. I don't know, I guess I feel very attacked. I don't actually, but if you are also obsessed with drag queens and Drag Race, then you'll get that. Anyway, I accept my cringy white womanness. Let's move on. It is time for a new chapter of my weekly writing project, Secret Keeper. And this week, we are on chapter 23. Enjoy. Morena sat ensconced in a plush velvet sofa, dark blue and speckled with silver thread. Her whole room was various shades of blue and silver, and she hated it. The room was oppressive. Even the air had weight, and Morena had given up on trying to move. She remained in her spot on the sofa for almost the entire day and night. She even slept there. There was a deep groove in the cushions that perfectly fit her shape. She had been there since speaking to Francie. Listening to her was more accurate. Her cousin had done most of the talking. It had been a bit of a surprise seeing Francie. She had disappeared long ago, and even Morena had been unable to find her. As the secret keeper, she was tasked with knowing what went on in the lives of the others. But Morena knew she hadn't tried very hard to find Francie. It had actually been a relief. One less person she was responsible for. Of course Francie was still alive, as much as any of them actually were. The children of death were far from their youth and burdened with an unending continuation of life. Morena had known her cousin was out there, somewhere, and maybe she should have looked harder. Still, Morena could understand wanting to escape it all. She could understand craving privacy. Francie had never been very forthcoming. She was resistant to the idea of having her darkest moments set down in writing. Morena knew her cousin didn't admit to even half of it, but she hoped that it kept Francie from going too far in the wrong direction. Of course, Francie had just been biding her time, building up to something big. Morena had been willfully blind to her cousin's true nature. It's not like Francie ever tried to hide what she was. She was Mina's child, after all, and of course bore the poisoned blood that they all shared. There was very little good in any of them, yet Morena had chosen to look the other way. Even so, she could not have predicted Francie's plan. Maybe Rhea could have seen it coming back in the old days. She had been very much against them traveling with Francie, and her whole energy changed when they finally split from her. Morena wondered what Rhea had seen back then. There was a lot she kept from Morena as well. No one wanted to share their secrets with the secret keeper. It was all out in the open now. Francie had set her plans in motion, and she had revealed it all. Morena had not known how to respond when she finally finished talking. That displeased Francie. She took it as a rejection, a criticism of her plans. Morena had been placed in this room, and Francie visited often to scream in her face until the new wave of rage subsided. Morena remained in her spot, silently contemplating everything she'd ever learned and what good it had ever done for her to know anything. She wished she could just turn off her brain, just leave it all behind. She was staring at the same spot on the wall when it began to tremble. The heavy door began its laborious opening. Morena didn't bother to look away from the tiny fleck of gold she'd spotted in the dark paint of the wall. It was her choice staring spot, and more interesting at the moment than anyone coming to visit her. If she kept her eyes on the fleck, she didn't have to hear anything else. She didn't have to take part in any of it. She didn't have to make a decision. Manto stepped in front of her, and that broke the trance. Morena felt the weight lift from her, and she sat up a little. He gave her a warm smile and ran a hand over his shock of bright red hair. Morena's stomach dropped. He was one of them, Francie's twin. How much evil did he carry in his very makeup? And whose side was he on? "Francie tells me you still haven't spoken," he began gently. "I understand that this is quite a shock. I thought you might have known. Out of everyone, you should have seen this coming. You should have found me long before now, secret keeper." He sneered at the last part, and his whole face seemed to change. His eyes darkened. He scowled at her, and she saw then how much hatred he had in his heart. "You really messed this one up. They never should have chosen the lesser twin for such an important role." Morena sunk back into the sofa. Her subtle shift made him smirk. "That's right. Sit back and let the real powers sort this out. You're nothing more than a designated gossip. What good have you ever done, really?" The weight settled back onto her shoulders and pushed her further down into the softness. The sofa was so comforting. She wanted to just stay there forever. She wished Manto would go away so she could see her gold speck. She wanted to go away again. "Wow, you really are just useless," he said in exasperation. "I know who I'm going to suggest for sacrifice first. And there's no way you can protest. Because you can't speak." He sat down beside her and pushed her hair behind her shoulder. He ran an ice-cold finger down her cheek. Morena couldn't move. His touch repulsed her. "That's one of my special talents," he whispered. "I can steal another's voice. It's quite easy when the person is as weak-willed as you. I honestly expected a much harder struggle. You're a child of death with supposed untold powers. A monster of epic proportions. And it was so very easy to tame you. Such a disappointment." He stood up quickly at the sound of booming steps in the corridor. The walls shook with every footfall. The doorway was still open, and the creature that stooped through it was absolutely enormous. It took Morena a moment to realize she recognized him. "Kevo?" It didn't register immediately that she had spoken. There was no wait, and her voice came back strong and clear. It only occurred to her when she saw Manto take a step back at the sound of that single word. The giant raised his head at the sound of his name, but he remained confused and didn't seem to recognize her. Francie hopped down from her perch on Kevo's hand with a whoop of laughter. "She speaks at last," she exclaimed with fake enthusiasm. Morena saw her shoot an angry look at Manto, and he took another step back into the shadows. "Yes," Morena said, rising from the plush trap which had held her for too long already. "I seem to have found my voice at last." Francie smiled brightly and gestured to Kevo. "You recognize him?" Morena nodded. She didn't trust her voice for that one. Not yet. She couldn't show a single weakness right now. Nothing that Francie could use against her later. "He was on his way to meet up with our aquatic relation, but your darling brother waylaid him for me. Out of all of us, I think he has changed the most from what he once was. Don't you think?" Francie narrowed her eyes, and her faulty smile vanished. "You wouldn't know, though, would you? You haven't kept up on your own brother. Your twin. And you didn't even know that I had one. You, my dear cousin, have been quite bad at your job. Imagine what Lottie would think." Of course, you never knew her either. The lesser twin. The one they tried to get rid of. The one they worried would foul up their plans. Francie laughed. The sound filled Marina's veins with ice. Terror sent her heart racing. But don't worry, Mar. I found a use for you. Turns out the lesser twin isn't completely useless after all. Especially you. And your ties to the other realm. You are actually going to be very useful, after all. Sit down. The last was a stern command, and Marina's knees buckled. She plopped back onto her spot on the sofa, and the heaviness holding her down seemed double of what it had been. She couldn't move at all. Francie turned her attention to her brother. He smiled hesitantly. Come here, she said gently. She held her arms open to her twin, and a kind smile adorned her face. It was a trap. Marina could see it plain as day, but Manto was bewitched. He took a step out of the shadows, and Francie pounced. She delivered a swift kick to his chin that sent his head spinning off. Marina stared in shock. She would have screamed if she could, but she found the effort it took to be too daunting. Manto's body slumped and landed in a heap at Marina's feet. Blood pooled around her shoes, and she felt ill. She wanted to move away from it, but she couldn't. She just watched as it seeped into the fabric and stained them forever. What was that for? Manto's voice rose up from the floor. Francie laughed. She snapped, and Kevo ambled over to the shadowy corner of the room and scooped up Manto's very angry head. He sputtered in Kevo's massive palm. This is absolutely ridiculous, Francie. I demand you return my body this instant. Francie rolled her eyes. Nah, I like you this way. By the way, she said sweetly, how dare you take credit for the voice-stealing thing? I spent years learning how to do that. Manto's head opened its mouth to reply, but he seemed unable to make a sound. He tried for a few moments. His face grew purple with rage. Marina understood how he felt, but it was a bit funny to watch. She would have laughed if she could. Francie watched the silent display for a moment with a smile playing on her lips. Then she nodded, and Kevo's massive palm closed around Manto's head. Everything around Marina went as silent as if someone had placed hands over her ears. She looked up, and Francie was smiling at her. It wasn't a kind smile. The sounds around her returned a moment later, and Francie sighed. Thank goodness he's gone. My twin was beyond useless. I can see why Mina sent him away. Plus, he looks like our dad, which is just gross. The weight holding Marina down suddenly lifted, and Francie gestured to a couple of chairs in another corner of the room. Marina was certain they had not been there before. She had been in the room for days, and she was sure it had been completely empty except for the sofa. Still, she stood and moved stiffly to the ornate leather chairs and settled into one across from Francie, who perched on the edge of her chair like a bird who at any moment could take flight. Marina settled back into her own chair and waited. This was Francie's show, and she was curious to see what would happen next. She knew she should be afraid of her cousin. The display with Manto had been solely for Marina's benefit, a show of power. She found she really didn't care. She was a death witch and had spent the last several decades half in the world beyond anyway. It would be a welcome relief to be sent there permanently, and to have her responsibilities to the living completely removed. After an unwanted eternal life, death would have been a beautiful gift. There was no way Francie would allow that to happen, so Marina did not fear her cousin. Whatever she had planned, she needed Marina. Sorry about all that lesser twin stuff. That was more to irk Manto. He was so obviously the lesser of our pair. You, however, are not the lesser twin in your grouping. It used to be a bit closer, but Lazalt has really gone downhill the last few decades. His mind's been overrun. He's a babbling fool half the time I speak with him. You are clearly the superior one. So you get to live. She smiled brightly and clapped her hands together. Lucky me, Marina replied. She tried to sound like she meant it. So, what now? What's my role in all of this? We'll get there in time, Francie said with a dismissive wave of her hand. For now, I just want someone to keep me company. I've been down here on my own for a very long time. It's refreshing to have energy around. It gives me hope. Francie settled back into her chair and seemed to relax a little. Do I have to be involved? Marina asked. I'm afraid so, Francie said. I get it, Mar. We're still fixing the mistakes of our mothers. It's not fair, but what's the alternative? You've read the book. You know what's coming. She did. Morena had seen it. Rhea had seen it. Apparently, Francie had as well. Their mothers had been so vain and so clueless. Some of them never truly understood the severity of what they had done. They opened up a channel for the ancients to return. Vengeful, destructive, and cruel. The old ones had a score to settle, and with none of the originals left, the children were stuck paying their debts. In some ways, Morena welcomed the change. The ancient ones would wipe the slate clean and start fresh. Maybe that's exactly what was needed. One thing she was certain of was that she trusted Queen Fee far more than she did her wild cousin. "Where did you go for all those years, Francie?" Morena almost couldn't believe the words coming from her mouth. But Francie just smiled. "There are other worlds beyond here. Where we sit now is merely a stopping place, the center of everything. From here, you can go anywhere you choose. We can have that choice, Mar, forever. We are eternal. Why not experience every single world?" Her eyes were bright and a bit wild. Morena felt a shift in the atmosphere. Francie was shifting. Just a little. "They want to trap us here, Mar. They need us, but they want to keep us hidden in the darkness while they flit from world to world, causing death and destruction. And for what purpose?" Morena pressed her lips together. She could feel her cousin's influence trying to pry the words from her, but she was stronger. Francie gave up with a frustrated cry. She threw her hands up. "I don't need to hear you say it, Mar. I know what you're thinking. You're wrong. There is no benefit to the return of the Ancient Ones. They will not spare you, no matter who you think is your friend. I can't see everything, but I see enough to know that you are being deceived. I also know you won't believe me, so let's leave it for now." She snapped and Kevo stepped between them. He scooped up each woman in his massive hands, and Morena let slip a small scream. Francie laughed. "You'll be fine. Kevo is very gentle until I tell him otherwise. He's escorting us to dinner." When Morena didn't respond, Francie sighed loudly. "You'll figure it out eventually. I'm trying to help you." Francie shook her head and snapped her fingers. "Let's go." Kevo stooped through the doorway and began his lumbering steps down the narrow, twisting hallway. Morena felt Francie watching her, and she tried to ignore her gaze. She could see Francie's creepy, wide grin in her peripheral, and it made her queasy. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. It built like pressure behind her eyes, and she finally had to turn and look. Francie met her gaze without changing her expression. The grin remained, and Morena felt a chill deep within. Francie then laughed loudly and clapped her hands. "You'll understand soon enough. You'll see." She chanted the words over and over as they continued their booming way down the spiraling hall. Under the clamor, Morena thought she heard familiar voices, and they were all screaming. And that's the end of chapter 23. I hope you're still enjoying Secret Keeper. I feel like we're kind of getting right into the thick of things right now. Love it. Please give this podcast a like or a review or whatever you can, wherever you can. It is all super helpful. And tell your friends about it. They might enjoy some Books and Cats chat too. You can check out any past episodes and any of my books over at booksandcatspod.com or at frappmedia.com. Finally, make sure to subscribe to the show or follow it. That way you won't miss next week's interview with poet and host of the Myth Monsters podcast, Aaron Kolff. I hope you have a beautiful week, book lovers. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves, give your pets a cuddle, and until next time, keep reading.